You can't control them. You can point them in the right direction and they might turn around and walk completely the different direction. And all you can do is kind of do your best to guide them.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now, here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's up, everyone? Art Eddy here for another edition of the Art of Fatherhood show, and I'm so glad to have these great guys are back on again. I've chatted with them before. They're very talented. We're going to be talking about their new show, The Ghost and Molly McGee. It's none other than Bill Motz and Bob Roth. Bill, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, and thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's great chat. And Bob, how are you doing?
Doing great. Doing great.
It's usually like I've gotten to the point if I'm interviewing multiple people at the same time, I'll be like, hey, guys, how you doing? And then you're like, oh, who should go first? So that's why I was just like, I'm going to introduce everybody at the same time, right? So, again, like I said, congrats on the show, The Ghost and Molly McGee. I loved it. I was able to watch a few episodes. It's going to be airing, of course, on Disney Channel, all the Disney properties on October 1st. And, of course, we'll put up links here in the show notes. But, of course, love chatting about fatherhood with you guys and just with great guys like yourself. So, Bob, we'll go with you first. When you found out you were going to be a dad, tell my audience what was going through your mind, sir.
Am I old enough for this? Am I mature enough for this? I still collect Star Wars toys. What am I doing? I have no business being a dad. Almost 20 years later, I'm still collecting Star Wars toys, and I love being a dad.
Same here. I'm laughing. I know this is going to be like mostly for audio. I might do some video elements in this as well, but like I'm pointing to my backdrop with all the Star Wars stuff. Bill, for you, same question, sir. What was kind of going through your mind?
Oh, same question. You know, the funny thing is, I think I felt going into it pretty, you know, sure that I, you know, I'm going to be a great dad. I just, you know, it's something I really, really wanted. And then I remember bringing home our son Jacob from the hospital. And he's in his little car seat, setting him down in the middle of our little apartment. And my wife and I sitting down, and this horrible realization of, what do we do now? Like, what happens now? And suddenly, the full weight of, wow. In fact, I remember when the nurse, you know, bundled Jacob up and handed him to us. I said, all right, here you go. I had this overwhelming urge to yell at her and say, what are you, nuts? How irresponsible are you? I don't know anything about this. Like, I should have at least some sort of license that says I am ready to be a dad.
I remember like the moment of my first son's birth. It felt like that moment on a roller coaster where it's going tick, tick,
yeah.
Tick, 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 tick. Oh, gosh, he's here. And now we're going and we're just going forever. And we're on a roller coaster that will, you know, never ever stop. And it's thrilling and it's fun and it's terrifying. And it's the greatest thing you're ever going
to
do.
I will say to your point, Art, though, about like collecting Star Wars, you know, toys and being very sort of childlike, right? I remember my second son, Robbie, had asked me one time when he was about 6 years old, I think. He said, so, Dad, when are you going to grow all the way up? And I said, you know what, Robbie, I think this is about as good as it's going to get. But I do think that having a bit of the childlike sense of wonder and fun and playfulness, that's a good characteristic to have.
My friend's dad, one of my best friends since like, you know, seventh grade when I moved to New Hampshire, like he'd see me when we were all grown up and all that stuff. And even at one of our weddings, whether it was his or my wedding, his son's wedding or my wedding, he's like, Art, the biggest thing about you is you're like Peter Pan. You never grow up, and that's a good thing. He's like, trust me, like just with life experience, and you got to have that, right? And I think you can also relate to kids a little bit better if you kind of are young at heart at certain points. Not all the time, but it's like, all right, should I pay the mortgage or should I buy this replica Millennium Falcon because it's awesome and I should get it? I should probably pay the mortgage.
Oh, that's is that the right answer?
Right? Oh, I mean to talk to you about it, Bill, but we'll get to it later.
Okay. But okay, so then I'll, so for you, Bob, talk about something that has surprised you about being a dad or fatherhood in general, about being a parent. What is something that has surprised you that, you know, I love Bill's answer, like, when are you fully going to grow up? Do you have any of those moments?
I don't think I have anything as quick and witty as that, but what I've sort of learned my big takeaway from being a dad, and it sounds so obvious when you say it, but they're their own people. Mm. And you can't control them. You can point them in the right direction and they might turn around and walk completely the different direction. And all you can do is kind of do your best to guide them and put them on the right path, and then hope that, you know, their heads screw down right and they make the right decisions.
No doubt.
Yeah. Every time you try to tighten the bolts and lock them down and stuff, that's such a waste of time.
Yep. it's for sure. And
what they are.
Yeah, that's great. And that could almost go into the last question about father before we go into Molly McGee. For you, Bill, talk about, I mean, I think you guys, obviously, with the work you've guys done together and things you guys have had your hand in creative, you know, being creative and thinking outside the box and just using your imagination or values, I think both of you guys were looking to instill into your kids. Mm-hmm. But for you, Bill, talk about some of the other values you were looking to instill into your kids as they were growing up.
Ooh, that's a great question. You know, for me personally, my faith is very important. So mm-hmm. I wanted to communicate my faith to my kids. And I think within that too was this sort of sense of being truthful, honest with themselves and with other people, to realize that they are stewards of the gifts that they've been given, and that both their talents and their intellect and their bodies and also the planet, the environment that they're in. One of the things that my dad really passed on to me was a camping thing, you know, like leave nothing but footprints and leave the campsite better than it was when you arrived, right? So you pick up all the little bits of litter you find and that kind of thing. And I think my wife and I have tried to sort of instill that with our kids as well, of sort of, you know, maybe leave the world a little better place than it was when you arrived.
No doubt, and especially with everything that's going on with the world and, let's just say, like nature itself, right? Mm-hmm. Using that mm-hmm. analogy is like, leave the campsite better than you found it. I think, you know, just for me with my daughters, you know, my kids' ages, I'm just like, I wonder what my grandkids, if I'm, you know, lucky to have them and all that good stuff, I'm still around, like, what's the temperature of the world literally and figuratively going to be, right? So great thing right there. And this is for both of you guys can answer, and then we'll go into the ghost and Molly McGee. Bob, you go first. What is one big piece of advice you'd offer new dads listening to this?
So are we talking about new dads before they're born or new dads after the kids?
Hey, dealer's choice, you can pick whatever you want. Because I think you can answer one way, and then Bill can follow up with another way too. It's all good.
What we always tell people when they say, hey, you know, my wife's expecting or I'm expecting, it's like, but go do everything now, man. Go out to dinner, go see the movies, do it all, because it's going to go away. I the anecdote I always tell is, I remember my son was, you know, a month or two old at this point, right? And we'd done all the, don't go anywhere, he'll get a sniffle. And we finally gotten stir crazy to the point where we were losing our minds. We're like, you know what? Our towels are old and crappy. Let's go to the mall. We're gonna go to Bed Bath and Beyond, and we're gonna get new towels. And I was over the moon excited about it. Yeah, let's get out of the house. We're gonna go to the mall and we're gonna get towels. Pack the diaper bag, pack it all up, get everything all ready to go. Get him strapped into his car seat, take him out to the car. Click the seat into the car seat. And then he fell asleep as soon as that went click. And my wife said, oh, we can't go anywhere if he's asleep. Nap time is so precious. And I was like, but I wanted to go get towels, you know? So your whole world is going to change. And it, you know, there are so many delightful moments when you come home and that kid coos at you or giggles and runs up and hugs your, you know, your shin bone. But your life is turned upside down and shaken, and they do not care. That's, you know, the world revolves around them for a good, you know, 12, 13 years, maybe longer.
You know, great answer right there. Bill, let you follow up in one quick second. But like, for the idea of, like, you know, my parents, and I know my wife's parents, like, oh, we're having date night, we're gonna go out to dinner and maybe do some food shopping. I'm like, what? Like, like when I was a kid, like a teenager, I'm like, that's fun. And now I'm like, heck yeah, sign me up for that, right?
We're going to Wegmans. Look
I'm
out.
I'm
going to
get some onions. And, yeah.
Well, it's up to you, man. What is one big piece of advice you'd offer to
you? Well, you know, I sort of touching on, I think, what Bob had mentioned earlier about that they're their own people, and they also sort of develop at their own pace and their different, you know, skills, and they're constantly kind of revealing themselves to you. And, you know, and there's this kind of funny thing. Like, I have three kids, Jacob, Robbie, and Maddie. They are all grown and out of the house. And it you know, it's been a wonderful journey. But I will tell you that I think the most stressful part of being a dad, for me anyway, has been once they left the house.
Yeah.
Because now they have launched into their adulthoods. They're making sort of decisions that are the kind of big life decisions. You know, who are they partnering with? What is their career path? What sort? Where are they living? All those kind of big questions, and it's at times a little stressful. As my wife will gently remind me at times, like, "You're an observer on this one." So I'm like, right, okay." You know, like the, they don't, you know, unless they ask, just zip it, keep it to yourself. Like, okay, that's probably super wise. And then the nice thing is they are discovering their way forward. And, you know, I love that.
Yeah, no doubt. Great answers right there. Appreciate you guys chatting a little about fatherhood with me. Now we're going to go on to the show, The Ghost and Molly McGee. I love this show for so many reasons. The music, animation, the humor. And there's certain things that we kind of talked about before we were recording that I don't want to spoil for people, just in the fact that they might not have seen it. But a lot of things that you guys touched upon that I was like, as a kid, I was like, yeah, I thought about that. And it was just like what you guys did. It was like, again, anything you guys touch, I think is fantastic.
Thank
Love
you.
Chatting with you guys. But Bob, for you, let's go first. Like, talk about how this show came to be. Like, again, like, I know you guys are creative, but like, what was the inspiration for this show?
So I wish I could remember. We had this idea for a long time, but Bill, I'm going to tell your story. Bill remembers that I came into the office one day and I was like, I had an idea, and all it was that scene in the very first episode where Molly first meets Scratch, and he puts a curse on her, and she says, you know, I'm going to be with you wherever you are, whatever you do, I'm going to haunt you for the rest of your life. And she's like, I'm going to go wherever I go, do whatever I do. That sounds like a best friend. And he realizes the curse he put on her is a curse on himself. and that was really all we had. But that idea made us both laugh. We kept it. We nurtured it for years, pitched it around a few places. It was never found quite the right place for it until, you know, we mentioned it to Disney. And they were like, yeah, there's something there. But that was many years down the road.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, you know, we really started digging deep into it that you know, we were working on a scene talking about how Molly would approach it, how Scratch would approach it, and their differing points of views. We realized, yeah, that of course you like what Molly would do there, Bill. That's what you'd do. Yeah, Scratch would, you're digging Scratch because that's what he would do. And we were like, wait a minute, this show is us. We've known each other for 31 years and been working together 30. You know, and suddenly it was like, oh yeah, duh. That's our friendship is at the core of the show. And once we had that key, it unlocked everything. The whole show exploded out in all directions. And we, you know, became this rich, deep world that, you know, we've put on the screens now.
Yeah. And it's great to see, you know, obviously for you guys to see that idea come into reality and just, you know, be on you know, on TV, and it's just very colorful. Love the way, you know, you guys portray the characters, all the characters. And you know, you guys know this, when I was talking to you guys about the Lego Star Wars Freemaker Adventures, I'm a big fan of voice actors. If people checked out my podcast series, they know that I'm always trying to get voice actors on, just because I think what they do is fantastic. You know, for you, Bill, talk a little bit about the idea of casting, and then also with everything that was going on with the world with the pandemic, I know technology, people can record from their own homes or booths. Was there any combined sessions? So first of all, talk a little bit about like the casting, and then like, right, were they able to like get together at all or no?
Well, so, I mean, so if, starting with the casting part, you know, one of the things we were looking for was who could really sort of embody the characters, really kind of breathe life into them. And, you know, pretty much out of the gate was the idea of using Dana Snyder again, who was Grabal the Hutt, as you know, in the Freemaker series. I mean, Dana's just so brilliant. And he's brilliant at improvisation. In fact, one of the things on Freemakers that we learned is, you know, just give him a little bit and he will make a meal out of it. And then the fun is sort of cutting it down to like, okay, well, that was 20 minutes. It needs to be four. So let's go, you know. So we were looking for that counterpart on one level who could bring sort of a similar energy in inhabiting Molly. And, you know, we went through the casting process, but we found, when we found Ashley, who we actually met through the writing process originally, and she was Molly. She just had the right energy, and but she could also improvise. So we chose then to start recording the show. Disney has a booth that they've customized that they use for a lot of their feature films and that kind of thing, where the actors are in separate booths, but there's a window between that's, you know, beveled and soundproofed so that they can see each other and interact with each other. And that was fantastic because, you know, Ashley and Dana would improvise off each other and riff and... So when COVID happened and lockdown happened, and we had to pivot, one of our big pivot to working from home, one of our big concerns was how do we keep that dynamic, that energy going in a work from home situation. And so Ashley and Dana both came up with their home setups, and there was, you know, there's a little bit of delay in Zoom, and we kind of had to figure out some of that rhythm and all of that. But we have, thankfully, been able to keep recording them together. Nice. And allow that dynamic of improvisation to continue.
When the lockdown hit, that was my biggest fear, that mm-hmm. we wouldn't be able to, I thought we would be able to keep our board team going and our writers going. Our design team could all, everybody's got mm-hmm. a computer set up at home pretty much these days. But my big fear was, are we going to be able to get that chemistry between Dana and Ashley that we were getting in the studio? And thank goodness we were.
Yeah.
It was such a relief that first record. It was like, oh, we're going to be fine.
Appreciate you guys sharing that, because again, I think, you know, that chemistry, like you said, improvisation and working together, especially mm-hmm. in animated, you know, voice animated and voice actors and all that stuff is huge. So thank you very much for sharing that. Two sure. more questions before the Fatherhood Quick Five. Bob, feel free, you know, to start, and then if Bill, you want to weigh in as well. Like I mentioned, the music is fantastic. It's like tongue in cheek about like animated, you know, series and cartoons and all that stuff. But especially during the baseball one, there's like hidden things that, like, when I'm watching it, I was like, wait, what? There's a couple times I'm like, they did say that. And it was just because it went along with the humor. And so, of course, you know, voice acting, animation, which we'll get to the second, and the way it looks and all that stuff in a second, that's my last question. But for music, it's very, you know, it's a symbiotic relationship, right? Too, you got, because we're all Star Wars fans, and then like people always thought like, you know, they're going to possibly go with disco in the 70s, and like, no, we're going to go with the orchestra. I couldn't imagine like if that wasn't the way it was, right? With John Williams, beautiful work he does. So for music, it was just great. Like, I think that the baseball episode just meant more to me just because of the music. Yeah. So just talk about like how much fun it was making that.
The funny thing is the baseball episode was actually our pilot. That was the story we made in development. And when we conceived the show, we were not thinking musical at all, or music really. Then as the story developed, we're like, well, we a musical sequence wouldn't hurt here. But our first stab at it, we just did a needle drop song in there, and it didn't bring the energy. So the notion became, and credit to Steve Loader, our producing partner on this, he was like, now we got to get a custom song in here. He knew some guys. He knows a lot of songwriters, and we just started snowballed, right? So we had that first musical sequence, and then we're like, well, Let's bring it back one more time over in this part of the baseball.
And we inject this, you know, little, you know, spoil, but you know, the thing, it's the same song with a little lyrical change that's thrown in.
We'll bring in John DiMaggio to just sort of go and cheat a little, and it'll add to it. And it just snowballed after that.
Like, you know what'd be funny? What if we brought it back again and did a big gospel version?
So by the end of it all, we were like, okay, we got to have a song in every episode. That's when Steve brought in his friend Rob Cantor, who, if you've ever seen that Shia LaBeouf cannibal video, and he's from he had a band called Tally Hall. And Rob is just a genius. He's a musical genius. He can do any genre we throw at him. And, you know, it's Bill says, I'm going to just steal Bill's line because I'm talking now. But it's like getting a Christmas present when we get an email from Rob with his rough demo of a song. Because they're always spot on, like just bullseyes time after time after time. So, that's where the music of the show kind of came from.
Love it. I love your, you know, your backdrops right there. It has, of course, Molly McGee and Scratch. Like, Bill, for you, like, talk a little bit about, like, the animation. Because, of course, initial sketches, just like you're talking about the music and all that, it, you know, it's, okay, yeah, I like that, but we kind of switched that. Like, when did the animation be, like, when the actual, you know, illustrations and artwork be like, yep, this is the direction we're going? Like, how long did that take?
Ooh, what, like 2 years, Bob?
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was a long process.
It was a while. But, I mean, and part of it was, you know, we had this pretty extended development process. That's just, you know, part of, I think, the nature of animation and a lot of it. So it allowed us to sort of explore ideas and designs. And, you know, it's interesting that Scratch actually, his first design was done by Steve Loader's brother, John, before Steve was on the show. We've worked with John and known John for a long time. And Scratch has stayed relatively the same. You know, there's been adjustments and, you know, improvements here and there, but for the most part, the sense
good 85%
was the original drawing. Molly, on the other hand, went through wildly different designs, and you know, we tried a whole bunch of different styles, and then once we cast Ashley and she is half Thai, so we decided to lean into her Thai heritage, and that then influenced color and design and patterns and, you know, all of that.
And the rest of the family too.
And the rest of the family, of course. And then, you know, we kind of looked at, like, what kind of, you know, how does the environment look? How do backgrounds look, and, you know, the line colors and the thicknesses and shapes and sense of flatness or perspective and all of that. So that we had an incredible design team who brought in a whole bunch of influences, and they would try things, and then we, you know, Bob and I would be like, oh, I like that. Oh, this is nice, you know. And then that kind of started shaping the overall language, and then our talented team just kind of harmonized all these elements to just make what I think is a beautiful looking show.
Yeah. Well said. Go ahead.
We should mention the animation team at Mercury Studios.
Yeah.
Took all the beautiful design work and boards and turned out some gorgeous animation.
Because, you know, I mean, Art, you can think up the stuff, right? But that doesn't mean someone can actually, you know,
translate exactly the way you're thinking, right?
So yeah, they were like, yeah, we could do that, and that'll be great. We're delighted.
Again, just maybe, you know, watching this just with, you know, being in this industry and watching, you know, getting the chance to chat with you guys here and there. This show, I think, is just great because of, like, it's very vibrant. Like I said, the music is great. The acting is fantastic. The writing is really superb. But, like, even with the animations, when there's facial expressions or this or that, you can feel it. Like, you can feel, like, certain, like, you know, if someone's upset or someone's annoyed or something, like, the way the facial expressions change, it's just – I'm a big comic book geek as well, and it just seems like panels from a comic book that come to life. So,
oh, great. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really great. So anytime, like, because I follow you guys on Twitter, and of course at the end I'll mention where people can follow you, but anytime you're like, oh, I got some big news, I'm like, sweet, I can't wait, because you guys always, you know, deliver the good. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I don't want to take up too much of your time, so let's finish up with the Fatherhood Quick Five. We'll go, since we did original, like, you know, alphabetical order, we'll just switch it. Bob, you go first, and Bill, you piggyback after each answer.
All right.
Answer. Favorite family movie right now? What is it, Bob?
Favorite family movie right now? I'm going to say Star Wars Visions. I watched that with my son last night. Wow.
Same here. We were with my kids, my family. We loved it, man.
Yeah, yeah. Gorgeous. Gorgeous stuff.
And me, I would say I liked that Cinderella film that's on, was it, I can't even remember.
Amazon.
But I just thought it was a lot of fun. Just
nice. You know, very cool.
Great music, and yeah, it was a blast.
Favorite family song? I mean, obviously, with depending on your kids' ages, they're probably like not having a family song, but was there a band or an artist you couldn't wait to introduce them to?
My kids and I went through a Weezer phase. It was a
nice.
That is hilarious. I can safely say our family has never done a Weezer phase.
Okay.
No, just kidding. I think, much to their chagrin, 80s music was a very big, you know, presence in our house. And I think anything that was in a John Hughes soundtrack was on regular play.
Nice.
And that has had its effect on my children. You can judge if that was a good one or not. I don't know.
Was pretty darn, both of them are great. Still have the perfect family vacation, where would it be, Bob?
My kids and I love, and my wife loves it too, to go to Comic-Con, but
nice.
My wife really wants to go to Hawaii, so I'm gonna say perfect family vacation, still yet to come. My kids have never been to Hawaii. We got to get them there.
Cool.
I have taken my kids to Hawaii, and yes, that was awesome. But I will say that one of my mom was from Denmark, and taking the family to Denmark and meeting their cousins or second cousins, and getting a sense of where their history comes from was pretty cool.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love that. Favorite cartoon character you enjoyed as a kid was?
Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny.
Not good for two Disney guys to say. Sorry, Disney. Bugs Bunny.
Hey, there's a crossover here and there. We're good. Sure. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad. What would they be?
Fun, loving, and loving. There.
Nice.
Well-intentioned.
People, make sure you follow Bill on Twitter at Inevitably Bill, and then Bob at Automatic Gravy, and watch The Ghost and Milo McGee at the Disney Channel starting October 1st. Of course, we'll put up links on where you can get all the good show notes and all that good stuff. But guys, always a pleasure chatting with you. I'm a big fan of you guys' work, and thank you for taking the time with me.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.